organizations have adopted EDI and take great pride in it. There is actually official recognition for this, and many businesses, companies and institutions have applied and were assessed for the Leaders in Diversity Award. There is a bronze, a silver and a gold standard, and actually recently the Henley College in Henley-on-Thames, where I teach, have been awarded the gold standard Leaders in Diversity. In our legislation in this country, we have taken over from the European Union the 7 protected categories, which are meant to combat discrimination and to ensure that all are treated fairly. But when I think about EDI, equality, diversity and inclusion, I think the best example for it would be Christianity. I'm not talking about specific Christian denominations. There are sadly some who still struggle with the idea of equality and inclusivity. No, I mean Christianity as a whole. Christianity is clearly inclusive. No one is excluded from turning to Christ. Everyone is welcome, as Jesus set out in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Christ is not just for some, but for everyone. In Christianity, there is also a wide range of diversity, different ways how the Christian faith are lived and practiced. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. The Church of England and the wider Anglican community represent this diversity. Different styles of worship, different theologies, different practices, and yet all are united in the shared belief in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And finally, there is equality. No one Christian is better or more important than the other. And that was said by the Archbishop in the little video clip as well. There is no difference between one believer and the other, despite the hierarchy that may exist in some denominations. We are all one in Christ. The open invitation to come to Christ is something to celebrate, but it is also a challenge to all of us. There are so many who do not follow Jesus, who might never have heard the good news, or who only have a very hazy understanding of who Jesus is and his eternal relevance to everyone's life. And this is why the Archbishop of Canterbury is inviting Christians everywhere to take part in the initiative Thy Kingdom Come, to pray for people to get to know Christ. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't think there is anyone who cannot become a Christian. Just think of the story of Paul, which we find in Acts chapter 9. The sworn enemy of the early Christian church has his encounter with Christ and changes from someone who persecutes Christians to one who preaches the gospel and becomes one of the first missionaries and one of the greatest theologians. So as part of this initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, let us pray for those whom we consider, whom we know as the enemies of Christ. Those who proclaim that there is no God, that all faith is just a delusion. In this country, those enemies, if you want to call them enemies, or opponents to Christ, mainly and mostly work with words. Publication of books, talks, lectures delivered. In other parts of the world, it takes a much more physical form. Just remember the attack on 20 Coptic Christians in Egypt on can't remember now whether it was Thursday or Friday, sort of towards the end of last week, who were on their way to a site of pilgrimage when their bus was attacked and so many were killed. So let's join in a prayer for the unbelievers, for the opponents of Christ. Heavenly Father, we come before you with our prayer for the enemies of Christ. We pray that you will work in them the miracle of renewal, replacing their hardened hearts with hearts of flesh. Just as Ezekiel said, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. We pray that those who rage against Christ, who mock, ridicule and persecute your church, will be filled with your Holy Spirit. We pray that the enemies of Christ will turn to Christ in faith. We pray that you will open their hearts and minds so that they will see you as you really are, and that they will put their trust in you. We pray that you will free those who are against you from their sins, that you will free them from the powers of evil, which keeps them away from the light of Christ. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Almighty King, we trust these prayers to you. Amen. Well, the power of prayer also applies much closer to home. There are many in this congregation who have family members, perhaps spouses, partners, children, siblings, or parents who are not Christians. At one time or the other, we will have talked about faith, will have tried to share the gospel, have tried to show them who Jesus is. And in some cases, we may have been successful, and the agnostic or atheist will have come to faith. And in other cases, we may have not made any impression, and it was settled to agree to disagree on matters of faith. Everything that could be said has been said. But this again is where prayer comes in. The love of Christ which we have received does not give up, but continues. And one way this love continues is in prayer. And at the beginning, as you were coming into St. Matthew's Church this morning, you were given little cardboard flowers, and Christina also handed out some pencils. So in a moment, in sort of more quiet, reflective part, I want you to write, or invite you to write, the names of family members, friends, relatives, on the back of these flowers, just the first names. And as you write them, to pray for these people. I don't know whether the...
Yeah, Francis.
Francis is going to play a little bit of a tune to sort of help us focus our minds. Okay. And then they will be later on hung up on that tree. And yes, and the pencils are being collected in as well. So, okay, so I want to add another dimension and another area of prayer to this Thy Kingdom Come initiative. So apart from praying for those who are actively, as I would call them, the enemies of Christ, and praying for those family members, friends, relatives, people we care for to come to faith, I think there needs to be a third focus. I mentioned that in many families there are what I would call split families, where some are Christians and others are not. And I think we also need to sort of focus a little bit on the Christian in that sort of situation, because it can be quite difficult and quite sad for the Christian. No matter how great the love between spouses, if one is not a Christian and the other one is, it can make things difficult. There may be resentment about the partner spending time in prayer, at church, being involved in various ways. There may even be some who object to money being given out of a joint bank account to the church. And it's not easy when children are involved. Of course, the Christian parent would want the children to come to church, to join in holiday club, in kids' church, Pebbles or Fletchling. But the non-Christian might object to this, considering it as a form of early indoctrination, and may even actively try and stop them from coming. In the same way, many have children who have turned away from God, and this causes the parents more than just sadness. Already at a human level, it's a kind of rejection of our values and principles. And yet, we continue to love our children. Mainstream Christians do not turn their back on those who have left the faith or never fully entered it. It may happen in sectarian fundamentalist groups where those children who do not follow their parents' lead are shunned and rejected. Mainstream Christianity does not act like this. We continue to love and care, to be there for our sons and daughters, no matter what. And the same applies to siblings or parents. We want them to find fullness of life, but it takes a lot of patience and wisdom on the part of the Christian, and sometimes a bit of effort too, to actually put all this into practice. So I would like you to join in with me in a short prayer for the Christian in a family who is faced with unbelievers. Heavenly Father, we want to bring before you those who follow you and who have family, friends, partners, spouses who are not yet your disciples. We pray for the Christian, pray that you will give them wisdom and patience, that you will give them the knowledge of when to say something and when to be quiet. Pray that you will encourage them and help them to grow in their own faith, and reassure them that you are with them. Amen. So, three ways of prayer in this initiative, Thy Kingdom Come. Praying for the enemies of Christ, praying for people we would love to see come to faith, but also praying for the Christians in families, for wisdom and strength for them. And having done all this praying, a final thought is that we also need to be willing and open-minded to see the answers to our prayers. And it's sometimes easy not to notice when a prayer has been answered, especially when it comes to people coming to faith. When we pray for someone to get to know Jesus, to turn to Christ, we're not praying that they become clones of us. We are not necessarily, or shouldn't really be expecting, that they would express their faith in the same way as we do, using the same language, using the same activities. Yes, of course it would be lovely to see people join All Saints and St. Matthew's, and of For obviously, if you're praying for parents or children, it would be lovely if they were to join you here, if that's physically possible. But we need to be sort of open to this, that there are maybe people coming to faith who will not necessarily join organized worship, who may have quite justified resentment to the institution of church, or who may find their spiritual home in a completely different context, who may prefer the quietness and the silence of a Quaker meeting, who might be much more drawn to cathedral-style worship, or who prefer the great informality that exists in a house church. But it's all these forms of Christian faith and expression are equally valid. That's where the diversity in Christianity comes in. There are some who will, for physical reasons, not be able to join in a church, but who will get their spiritual nourishment, so to say, through readings, through videos, through listening to radio broadcasts, and so on. So there is a lot of variety. And talking from sort of experience, sometimes I'm surprised to see, and I'm rejoicing and thinking, isn't that great that X actually has faith and is a Christian, even though maybe on the outside level, maybe at first sight, we wouldn't expect this to be the case. And I've experienced this with a number of my elderly relatives, my aunties, especially the aunties, but also some of the uncles, and they are all now in their 80s. I mean, that comes from me getting older and older. You have older relatives. And being really surprised, talking to them, and then visiting, when they actually bring up faith, and actually saying, yes, I do believe. And I sometimes really am surprised. And I think our task as Christians, when we are in that sort of situation, is then to try and encourage people wherever they are, whatever type of faith expression they have embraced, to encourage them and to relate to that. That's the final thought. Thank you.